Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg.
Yeah! Time to get a lift.
A division of Bell Media. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Shortly past 10:30 in the morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg and Richard Pollock. Michael Remus operates the R-Desk at www.illegalcurve.com. Let's head to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We welcome back to the program our good friend from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Chris Vivlamore. Chris, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Gentlemen, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure, Chris. How you doing?
Good.
That's good. Chris, we really wanted to spend some time with you talking about Craig Ramsey today. Probably nobody in the hockey world, at least amongst the media, covered him as closely as you did over the last season in Atlanta. So we were sort of wanted to dig deep into sort of his coaching style and what he brings to the table as a head coach. So given that last year was his first year in Atlanta, can you tell our listeners what the biggest change was that the organization noticed between John Anderson, the previous head coach, and Craig Ramsey, the new head coach last season?
Sure. They're kind of both, I would say, were players coaches, but Craig Ramsey was much more of a teacher. And that's not to say anything bad about Coach Anderson, but I would spend time in the hallways of the practice rink and while waiting for him to do an interview, and he'd stop Evander Kane in the hallway and say, your stick should have been this way in this instance, before and after practice, or they would go over a game. So he was much more of a teacher. He knows how he wants things done. He knows the way he did it. He had a long and illustrious career, and he worked very hard, and they had to make up a lot of ground in that respect. There were a lot of players that were just doing things that were not technically correct, and so he spent a lot of time. I think in the end he'll tell you he probably spent more time than he thought he would working on those types of details, which in the end, win and lose hockey games, if your stick is in the right spot when it should be, that's the difference between deflecting a shot on goal or a pass and letting it go through. It leads to a goal. So he's very big on teaching those kinds of elements of the game.
Chris, you alluded to him talking to Evander Kane, and Evander Kane's one of the core young players on the roster. Can you talk a little bit about Ramsey dealing with young players and teaching obviously is a huge aspect of that, but was he a guy that was willing to be patient with the young players and willing to allow them to have, he seemed to play them a fair amount in terms of ice time. So can you speak a bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. He was definitely one that would give the young players their chance. But you have to earn your ice time. That was very big with Coach Ramsey, that if you make mistakes or you continue to do the same things over and over again that are incorrect, it was going to cost you ice time. In an ideal world, he will roll four lines. He wants those shifts to be 30 seconds, and his motto is, do the short shift. Don't stay out a little bit longer, because you'll make that up at the end anyway with more shifts. So those are types of things with and not to single Evander out because there were lots of young players, sure, but Evander Kane, Alex Burmistrov, guys like that who were just trying to show what they could do and maybe stay out a little bit longer, was things he wanted to curtail. But absolutely, if you did the right things, you got ice time, and that's kind of what it was all about. And he was certainly patient with everybody, but that's a big thing with him.
Chris, we're talking about some of the younger players, and as you know, the Thrashers are a young team. They're one of the younger teams in the league. In contrast, how did Craig Ramsey deal with some of the veterans? And there was a few, but Andrew Ladd was the captain, and he wasn't very old. But as far as some of the veterans go, how did he interact with those guys?
I think very well. The key with the older players too was, and it worked wonderfully in Andrew Ladd's regard, is that he expected more of them even than they thought they could do. When Andrew Ladd came over, from Chicago. Here he is, a third-line forward, didn't play on any of the special teams. And he comes into this system, and Coach Ramsey was, you know, I expect you to score. He expects everybody to score. But you're going to play the power play. You're going to play on special teams. You're going to get opportunities to do things that you may didn't have in the past or didn't even think you could do yourself. And like I said, Andrew Ladd is a perfect example. Scores almost 30 goals. Was key on both the power play and the penalty kill. And he got so much more out of a player like that than maybe, like I said, the player expected or anybody around the league might have expected. And again, with him, it was ice time. It didn't matter if you were a young player or a veteran. If you weren't giving 100% or you were continuing to make the same mistakes, then your ice time got dialed back. And say a Ben Eager is a perfect example of that. Mm-hmm. You know, he just wasn't doing the role that they thought he would do. He was continuing to do some things that weren't in Coach Ramsey's playbook. And in the end, his ice time got dialed back until he eventually was traded. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the, you know, reward-type system he runs.
We're joined on the line by Chris Vivlamore of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Chris, last week on this program, new general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff said he wants his team to play an up-tempo style. Craig Ramsey has the reputation as being more of a defensive coach. Is this reputation justified, and do you think that Ramsey can sort of fit into the desired mold that Cheveldayoff is looking for in a head coach?
Oh, no, I think it's quite the opposite. Ramsey's a go-go-go guy. He wants his defense up. He expects his defensemen to score, too. He wants, if the play allows them to rush, then he wants them to rush. No. From the beginning, his motto was go, go, go. And so I would think if that's what you know, they want this team to be, you know, he's the guy. He started to instill it. That's the system that he wants to run. So, you know, without speaking for anybody, that's probably a good fit.
Moving to the draft, Chris, and this organization, obviously there's a lot of movement going on here. Marcelo Como is a franchise director of amateur scouting, and he's going to run the draft day, as you know, Cheveldayoff and Heisinger have said. You know, in your time covering the team, can you maybe talk a little bit about his scouting philosophy, who they generally target, what they're looking for, just a little bit of background for the Winnipeg fans?
They've always just kind of gotten the best player on the board that they, you know, that they could. It didn't matter if they were defense or offense, you know. And, you know, in the Thrashers' case, the last 3 years, whoever they picked came in, made the team, and played right away. Mm-hmm. And maybe Alex Burmistrov was a little premature in that, but he certainly learned a lot and became a much better player than he would have been at this point, you know, had he not been in the league for a full season. So, again, I don't think they're looking for any one particular type of player. They certainly look for good character people. That was important to them. But again, just, you know, if you were the best player on the board, you know, then that's who they were going to take.
Chris, we talked a little bit about Captain Andrew Ladd a little bit earlier. And, you know, he was close to signing an extension with the previous front office group before the team obviously moved to Winnipeg. Do you have any insight that you can share with us into what sort of deal was on the table between Andrew Ladd and the Atlanta management team?
I don't. I wish I did. I don't. What he said to me often was, "We're on the same page." I can't help but think that the more goals he was starting to score and the more captaincy that he had and was showing that leadership, that maybe his price was starting to go up a little bit, and that might have been why something didn't get done immediately. He also did tell me, "Look, you know, it became, you know, during the season that a move like this could happen." And I think he just wanted to get through the season and try to have his team make the playoffs. So that kind of dialed back negotiations a little bit too. But, you know, certainly if you look at what Dustin Byfuglien got and then the role that Andrew Ladd's playing and an expanded role, then, you know, you might see why they're starting to be a little bit more apart than they were when they were here.
Certainly. Last question, Chris. You know, there was talk at the deadline, and we had spoken to you about this on a prior occasion, talk at the deadline about Zach Bogosian's name being floated out there. Obviously, he's still with the organization, and he's you know, a chip moving forward. How do you see his development? And can you speak a little bit about maybe Rick Dudley's thoughts on him prior to being let go?
Sure. You know, all the speculation aside, I knew he wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. They just... you know, Rick Dudley told me. They just, there's too much invested in him. He's got too much raw talent. And he's such a, you know, a young player still. He's 21.
Yep.
So he's got so much upside. They were not going to give up on a player like that. Again, I think he's one of those players who could benefit from Coach Ramsey's teaching, and even John Torchetti, who had the defense for the season. Mm-hmm. You know, just being in the right places at the right time. And then when you're learning that kind of thing, and this was Zach's issue, and I think he admitted to it, you start to think, where am I supposed to be mm-hmm. on the ice? And the minute you do that, you're done. That it's got to be ingrained in you so that it becomes second nature. And I think he really was starting to get that towards the end of the season. He also was dialing back his offensive capabilities a little bit to make sure that he was where he was supposed to be defensively and probably could have joined some more rushes than he did. And he started to do that towards the end of the season. So, I mean, I just, like I said, this is new leadership for them. I just can't see anybody giving up on a 21-year-old mm-hmm. player like that with so much upside, so much raw skating ability and talent that, you know, I knew he wasn't going anywhere at the deadline. And I would think, you know, when he gets to Winnipeg, that's a player that they want to build around too.
Chris Vivlamore of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, we thank you as always for your time. You've been great to us over the last number of years, and we always do appreciate you joining us here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Well, it has been my pleasure. I don't imagine we'll be talking much more after Tuesday, but it certainly was my pleasure through the year.
Well, if whenever the opportunity avails itself, we'd be glad to have you on again, Chris. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, yeah. Chris.
Chris Vivlamore of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I mean, you know, always thrilled to have the franchise back, but it is there's the residual effects of a franchise move, and, you know, Chris's role, obviously, with the paper will change accordingly.
Just on the topic, I mean, I think it is, you know, apropos. Chris, I think, has been on our show, you know, half a dozen times, maybe more than that, and back to the Kick days, and, you know, he's provided some really good insight and really helped us out, so you can't say enough good things about Chris.
Always
and hopefully we can have him on if the opportunity comes up.
That's right. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go open phones for the next 45 minutes or so, talk about the draft, talk about the head coaching search, talk about the team name, whatever's on your mind. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. In the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We just heard from Chris Vivlamore of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Before him, we have heard from Kyle Cozier, Illegal Curve scouting correspondent. Still to come, Dave Staples of the Edmonton Journal. In case you miss any of those interviews and any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe and get the show sent to you each and every week automatically. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. Follow us on Twitter, @illegalcurve. Join the R-Desk, the live chat taking place at www.illegalcurve.com. And, of course, each and every day, multiple times per day, illegalcurve.com is your home in Winnipeg for hockey news related to the return of the NHL. It's updated multiple times per day, and that's the way we like it. Nothing?
Guys, on the topic of the coach, Craig Ramsey he's proven that he's a very good coach. He's been an assistant coach. He's been a head coach. He was a longtime NHL player. But I still think that, and this goes back to what Richie said in the morning papers. Richie posted morning papers for the first time in a few years.
Just Winnipeg, though. Not
just Winnipeg morning papers relating to, you know.
But frankly, it's the only team we care about.
Right.
Let's be honest. Do you care about any other team at this point?
I think the coach now. You know, for those who don't know, there's been a few hires. One of them recently was Mike Yao, who's the assistant coach with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's 37 years old. I mean, we're seeing younger and younger coaches being hired. Guy Boucher, and nothing against Craig Ramsey, but Claude Noel, Craig McTavish. These are younger guys. Richie, the, you know, kind of like the new school of mm-hmm. coaches. Even mm-hmm. though McTavish was a coach for 8 years, but. That might be working against Ramsey and more in favor of Mac T. Haviland and Noel. I think it's down to three at this point.
I don't, you know, for some reason, the idea of Craig McTavish as the head coach here just doesn't thrill me.
Yeah, people have said that to me. I disagree. I like Craig McTavish. I think he's a good coach. I think he's good with young players. I think he plays certain matchups. I'm a McTavish fan, but I've heard that sentiment from around the city the past
I don't know
days.
Why that is necessarily. I mean, I can't pinpoint it for
well,
any
Drew,
sort of
Drew,
reason.
We
it's
talked
just...
about it a little bit earlier, and there's a few incidences in Edmonton where people said that Craig McTavish caused stalled Dustin Penner's development in his first year there. But Penner wasn't playing that well, and he expected a lot out of Penner, and Penner did improve his game. And I don't necessarily know that that is, a blight, if you will, on McTavish. McTavish had a good track record in Edmonton, and you know, especially in 06. He didn't have the most talented teams, guys. He had Pronger, obviously, that helped.
Excuse me.
Richie, all right?
I thought there was a gunshot went off in here.
I mean, at the same time, he shielded the guys like Gagne and those guys from tough competition and played them in situations where they would succeed, and they did. And we took the team to the finals. Obviously, it was a bit of a Cinderella run. Yep. He wasn't ever given the most talented teams there. I like McTavish. I mean, his dismissal, and, you know, the team hasn't done anything since he was dismissed.
Is it an arrogance? Is there an arrogance that rubs people the wrong way with him?
I'm not necessarily sure about that, Drew. I think that the new age is you guys alluded to it, that hiring new coaches has become, you know, the new way of doing things and giving people a chance and not recycling, and that's good. But also, I mentioned in the morning papers on thelegalcurve.com this morning, when you hire young coaches, Drew, and you hire AHL coaches...
There's growing pains.
No, but they're cheap.
Yeah, of course.
What do you think they're looking for? They're looking for a contract. They don't care what the contract is.
Right.
I mean, the rumors are that Cheveldayoff was offered the same amount of money from Chicago as he was by Winnipeg. Obviously, the responsibilities here and the opportunity to be one of the 30 National Hockey League's GMs was too appealing. And who can blame him? And I'm happy that he's here. But understand that. I mean, the money is a factor, too. So first-time GM is going to probably take less money than a second-time GM. First-time coach is going to take less money than a second-time coach. And with that, Drew, comes less of a burden down the road if you had to fire somebody.
Absolutely. I mean, that certainly is a factor.
Those are all factors. I mean, if I had to rank that, I don't know enough about Haviland. Haviland seems to have been a successful coach. Now, you wonder if Chicago, I mean, I guess they're already interviewing, so they're allowing him to interview. But
I think they have to.
If Gouge, you know, taking a couple more guys from Chicago. I mean, Steve Eiserman did this with Detroit, or tried to, right? He took a couple of his buddies,
yeah,
and he hired a lot of, you know, Boucher took all of his Hamilton staff. It's tough, you know, to balance taking a bunch of players from an organization, or a bunch of management types from an organization that you were with for so long. You know, and it was alluded to this morning, we linked it on thelegalcurve.com, that might be Zinger working for, you know, thinking that Noel's the best choice, and Cheveldayoff thinking that Haviland's the best choice. Maybe that's the case.
Well, they're obviously going to have to come to the decision with that. I mean,
and so, but it seems like a four-horse race, maybe a five-horse race with Peter DeBoer. And so, Peter DeBoer, now people, you know, they look and they say, well, you know, what has he done? Well, you know what, guys? I mean, what did he have to work with?
Next to nothing in Florida.
Right, so you can't judge him based on that simply. I mean, he's been part of Team Canada coaching staffs in the World Championships. He was a very successful OHL coach. He's a smart guy. He's an educated guy.
Yeah.
I think he could be somebody they're looking at, but it doesn't appear that he's close to the top of the list.
No.
Kirk Muller didn't make the cut because, well, they're not interviewing him, so he's obviously not in the picture. Apparently he's a bad interviewer.
Yeah. That's the knock on him, is that he interviews poorly.
And he's not the most articulate guy in the world, but he certainly knows his hockey.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll be a good coach down the road. But it seems like it's a four-horse race. You know, Haviland, McTavish, Noel,
and Ramsey.
And, you know, could there be a hybrid? It's possible, but I think unlikely. You want to run your... I mean, Noel might be more apt to take an associate coach job with Ramsey as opposed to the other way around. But Ramsey has been an associate coach before, like he was in Tampa Bay. So, I mean, all these guys are qualified. They're just different. And as you talked about it, you have a veteran coach, you have more of an offensive coach, you have more of a defensive coach, you have some inexperience. And there are strengths and weaknesses to all of these coaches. We're not talking here... I mean, Guy Boucher isn't available, guys.
Right.
So, I mean...
There's no clear-cut, you know, hot head coaching candidate
right.
this year.
And that's why there might not Beauty's be not an the... announcement until after the draft.
Oh, I don't think there will be an announcement next week regarding the head coach.
No. Some people thought it was coming Monday or Tuesday. I don't think
no,
so.
No, I don't think so. I thought at first there might be... I thought next week was going to see... We'd see an announcement of the team name, but even that now I'm not 100% sure of.
This is the thing, guys. You don't know about that. We don't know about that. We've heard some rumblings, but we don't know about that. You need to have a coach, and I talked about it on this show before and on the site this morning. You need to have a coach in place by July 1.
Yeah, and they will.
Oh, of course.
They will.
The draft doesn't really matter.
They won't have a coach in place by June 21st, though.
No, but that's the week after the draft is when they need to have that head coach in place by...
Players are looking at their options.
That's right. And we don't expect them to be an overly big... Let's talk about free agency for a minute. We don't expect them to be a tremendous player in the free agency market.
No.
But, you know, I think the people in Winnipeg will want to at least see a sign that some free agents are willing to come here so that they should be looking... You know, there should be a second or a third line depth player that they might be in the market for.
You know, we've talked about it before, whether it be a guy like Scotty Upshaw, a guy like a Michael Ryder, a guy like a Joel Ward. players of that ilk. You can bring responsible, you know, can play a nice kind of second, third line role, produce some offense, and not require the breaking of the bank. So that to me is an appealing appealing for an organization like the one that we have here. I like to hear from the fans, though, and let's open the phones to that in the next half an hour or so before we have Dave Staples on. Who of the UFAs do you think the team should sign? If you think they should sign Brad Richards, which I absolutely think they should not sign a guy like that, tell me why.
Yeah. Come with an opinion. And if you think Richards is the guy, we want to hear, and think critically, explain it to us in terms of the ramifications for the salary cap and everything else. Critically try and convince us why Brad Richards is the guy they should be signing.
And I would say, you know, and this is critical, and the reason why I don't think it would be smart is not just the short-term dollars. Let's be honest, guys, the future of this team, the core of this team, right now, as we see it, Pavlich in goal, he's young.
Yeah.
You've got Bogosian, Enstrom, Bufflin, right. Kane, mm-hmm. Ladd, and most likely part of that will be Blake Wheeler,
yep.
Anthony Stewart.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're going to have to sign these guys in the future. So if you go after Richards, we have to believe, is looking for a contract. It's not going to be 1 or 2 years. He's probably looking for a five-year deal or something like that.
That's right.
So if you sign him to $6 million, that's going to take away your cap space to sign the Canes
and
these guys. So that's probably why this isn't going to happen. It's not a short-term thing. This isn't a team that's a step away from the Stanley Cup either. So it's not like you're complimenting.
But within 5 years, if built properly, they could be. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. We'll go to the phones when we come back from these commercial messages. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
You heard it on Hustler and Lawless.
You know, as a former hockey player and somebody that really loves the game, I think getting into the 7 game, everybody wants to be there, all your family, your friends.
I think the trading Roberto Luongo is an option with 11 years left on this contract. As much as a lot of people here would like to see Corey Schneider, the goaltender of the future, it probably is just not going to be facilitated.
Actually on the patio right now, and Milan Lucic just hoist for the cup. It seems a lot of Boston is, it was pretty quiet here half an hour ago until Mr. Stanley showed up, and there's developed quite a crowd. It's been just a whirlwind. I'll tell you what, special times is, you know, being on the ice, being able to raise that cup, it's pretty, you know, that was special.
I mean, the Stanley Cup is the biggest one. That's the one that you're shooting for. Conn Smythe is, it's amazing.
Listen to Hustler and Lawless weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1290.
Hi, I'm Walt Morris, president of Winnipeg Suzuki. There is no better time to purchase a new...
Curve Hockey Show. Open phones for the next 30 minutes. 780-1290. Area code 204-780-1290. You can send us your comments on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Send us emails info@illegalcurve.com and facebook.com/illegalcurve. Let's go to line one. Greg is on line one. Greg, welcome back to the Illegal Curve.
Hey, how are you? How's everything?
Doing well, Greg. How are you doing?
Good. There's two coaches who are not getting any, in the words of Kornheiser and Wilbon, enough dap in terms of the coaching search, and that's one Ken Hitchcock and one Mark Crawford. I haven't heard anything about those two coaches. I'm thinking those are two coaches. I would say one of them has dealt with young talent with the World Junior squad as an associate coach in terms of Hitchcock, and Mark Crawford, who has a pedigree of head coaching capabilities, winning like two or three Stanley Cups with the Colorado Avalanche and stuff, and combine them to have like four or five cups respectively, as well as I haven't heard anything in terms of a signing. Thinking, why don't the Winnipeg NHL franchise go after Nolan Baumgartner for some veteran leadership? I'm thinking this team is very dangerously young right now, and I'm looking at the some of the potential lineups and stuff that he would be a very good asset in terms of grooming the team, because to me I'm thinking this team is kind of like, I will say, 5 years down the road of being Vancouver Canucks, very very have the experience, but we need more, per se. So,
Greg, thanks for the call. Always appreciate your insight. Let's start with his comments about Hitchcock and Crawford.
Yeah, we'll start with the Hitchcock-Crawford comment call that Greg, thanks for calling, by the way, again, Greg. Ken Hitchcock was rumored last year to be going to New Jersey Devils. So I think, Greg, first off, those are both good suggestions. Those are both good coaches, but I think that they're not really going in that direction. But I think New Jersey has shown some interest in Hitchcock, so we'll wait and see if they go after him. As far as Nolan Baumgartner goes, guys, he was actually taking the pregame warm-up. Richie actually broke that news to me. Baumgartner was because
I believe
of the,
I broke that news.
That was Richie.
Richie?
Just because you say it, but I think that Crawford might have to wait a little bit. He wasn't that successful in Dallas, let's be honest. But
he hasn't been that successful in a number of spots now.
Let's talk about, Mark Crawford, I don't know how quickly we'll see him again in the National Hockey League, at least as a head coach. He is, he grates on the play. He's a grating personality, grates on the players. He's
got a lot of arrogance.
Yeah, and the thing about him, and then he's toned it down a bit and he tried to adjust, but Joe Nieuwendyk was a fan of his, and then he's let him go. I don't know if Crawford gets an opportunity. He's been in Colorado. He's been in Vancouver. He's been in L.A. He's been in Dallas now. You don't get any more opportunities, especially, is he the Mike Keenan type?
I was going to say.
And he's good on TV, so I think he'll probably be on CBC or something like that moving forward. Ken Hitchcock is a very good coach. Tactically, strategically, he's a very good coach. The problem with Ken Hitchcock is he is negative, and he works on the players, and he works them over, and he works them over, and he works them over. He would not be the kind of player I'd want with that attitude on a young team. I don't question his hockey knowledge. I think it's probably second to none. But his communication skills aren't great. On a young team, that's not what they need.
No, he's a great game manager.
He's a great game manager. He sees things on the ice that others don't. But he's not what this team needs right now. Maybe a veteran team, different story, put him over the top. He's not what they need. Craig Ramsey can do a similar thing in terms of the defensive responsibility, communication, do it with a positive spin and in a gentle way.
Agreed with that. Let's go to line two. Zach in Toronto, you're on line two. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, how about
us? Yeah. Hey,
Zach, I literally just said, where's Zach from Toronto?
Well, I heard Yazzy, so I called in right on cue.
Oh, appreciate funny, that. I thought our mics were off, but...
Zach, what's on your mind?
Just wanted to chat about, the potential in free agency and just looking at the roster guys. And you guys have said this, it looks like they need another, top six forward, something like that. And while you guys wrote a great article about what's out there available, what I would think about doing if I was a GM, and I'm going to put on my GM hat, is looking at a team like Philadelphia that just traded for the negotiating rights to Ilya Bryzgalov. Mm-hmm. They've got cap issues. They're going to have to unload some salary on that team. So how about going and looking to make a deal with them? After the draft for, a Christopher Sieg or a Villano or one of those types of players.
Well, in terms of Versteeg, this guy right now is somebody that nobody wants for his defensively irresponsible and the salary, that he has coming with him. So you could get him and you could add him to a team, and Cheveldayoff was in Chicago. So that means that they traded him, but they also, they also had him and he's seen him and he knows what he can do. In terms of Lino, by almost all accounts, Lino is a UFA. I'm pretty sure. I'm just checking right now. So you could probably sign Lino if you wanted to. Now, the question is, Zach, and people have talked about it, is a guy like Jeff Carter available?
Well, that's what the rumor was, that he was going to go to Columbus in exchange for their first overall, their first round draft pick.
So, is that a guy you look at? But I like the idea, and you're right on. Ville Lino is a UFA, by the way. Only 27 years old. Zach, the point is this. Teams up against the cap, like the San Jose did to Chicago last year with the Chalmerson contract, putting them up against the cap and then them having to trade players and make a decision on Niemi and things like that. You can absolutely try and get players from that team. That's a good strategy. What about a young defenseman, too? I know that they have a lot of young defensemen on the team, but guys like Matt Carl may be available, and the Versteeg idea may be available. Maybe Jeff Carter's available. Maybe Scott Hartnell's available.
But so, for the teams that have the salary cap room, it is time to... That's why they... that's the beauty of having that room, is they can take advantage of the teams that have no salary cap room.
And I want to... Let's look at the Philly situation right now, Zach. Because you mentioned Versteeg, a guy who's now, Zach, he's been moved from Boston to Chicago, Chicago to Toronto, Toronto to Philly. Is it one of those, those people who have him know what he brings to the table? And was he shielded by the likes of Taves and those guys playing with such talented players? And when he's on his own, like he was in Toronto, really, you know, with Bozak, whoever he was playing with, he couldn't produce at the level that people expected. But you look
he was terrible when he was there.
Right, and yeah. you're in Toronto, so you would know firsthand. But you look at the Flyers, and they do have, I mean, Versteeg's at RFA after this year. Van Riemsdyk, they're probably not going to want to get rid of. Giroux's a cornerstone. But, I mean, Scott Hartnell at 4.2 a year, only for 2 years, brings a physical element, can score some goals, adds a good character guy. Maybe that's somebody that they're looking to deal off. And Carter's obviously on the books for 5.2 forever. And Briere's on the books for another 4 more years. But there are guys that are available. And so that idea and that mindset, and that can work with other teams as well, is something that the team, like Winnipeg, who doesn't go up to the top of the cap, should be looking at.
Zach, we appreciate the call as always.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. You can send us your comments on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Winnipeg guy tweets, at Illegal Curve. What about Jaromir Jagr?
He would go to a veteran team, and the teams that he's talking to are the Rangers and the Red Wings and the Habs, amongst others. I think they're trying to get into the Penguins there. Jagr can't skate like he used to. His hands are still good. He'll probably add 20 to 25 goals if he plays a full National Hockey League season and be a productive forward because he's just so talented. But on a team like Winnipeg that's trying to rebuild and move forward, and he's not exactly the best influence on young players, I would think I would think that they would avoid a guy like Jaromir Jagr.
I hope he goes back to Pittsburgh. I think that would be probably a better fit. I think he might even offer a little bit more offense than Kovalev did to Pittsburgh. I think though that when you're talking about Richie, the Detroits, the Pittsburghs, the Rangers, I mean, when you look at Mike Modano or Alexei Kovalev, these guys aren't Mark Recchi. Mm-hmm. They can't contribute the same type of minutes, but it's been pretty well known that Jagr wants to get a final crack at the NHL, and it'll be only time will tell if he can be a factor.
Can he be anything besides a power play guy?
No, he's mostly a power play guy at this point because of his skating, similar to Kovalev. Still better, obviously, than him. You know, Kyle mentions on Twitter.
I was just going to say that. I see Kyle K tweets at Illegal Curve, Andy Green and Brooks Leitch.
Yeah, Brooks Leitch. You know, Brooks Leitch can play all situations, all positions. He can be a scorer. He can be a checker. He can kill penalties. He can play on the power play.
Saskatchewan boy.
Sort of
Saskatchewan
a poor man's Andrew Ladd.
You know, more versatile. But the problem with Brooks Leitch is
they like him in Washington.
That's one thing, and he brings so much to the table that I think there's going to be a bidding war for him.
He's one of the best players on the team in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? The problem is, I mean, he brings a lot to the table, but how much do you pay for your second line player as opposed to your first line player? And I know he's versatile and he plays a lot of situations, but right now he made $2 million last year. He's hitting the open market at 27 years old.
Where would is he a second line
player
in the NHL?
He's turning 28 next week.
Is he a second line player in the NHL?
Yeah, oh yeah, and he can play in your first line too. But the question is, I mean, I think this guy's gonna crack at least $4 million, and Winnipeg needs to save that money for top end guys.
And Richie, the Andy Green suggestion by IC Kyle is an interesting one. He's actually become New Jersey's best defenseman, really.
Back mover, yeah.
And you know, when you look at who Winnipeg has now. Bogosian, Bufflin, Hainsey, Oduya. Hainsey is a guy that I'm not so high on, unfortunately, because of he's not very good defensively. So
well, through no fault of his own, he's overpaid.
Andy Green would be would look a little bit better on this team at, you know, let's say $2 million with his better puck moving skills than a Ron Hainsey who's making four and a half or whatever he's making.
The question is, I mean, how long till Paul Postma's ready to make the step up and be that puck mover on the back end? And they do have a lot of puck movers already. Okay. But hey, I mean, if you can get a guy like that cheap who can skate and move the puck,
then you jump on it at all opportunities.
But and is there room right now? Your top six is, you know, Enstrom, Bufflin play together for the most part, and Oduya and Bogosian play together, and then Stewart and why am I forgetting the last guy? Stewart and who is it? You're not helping me out here.
Say that. Go through it again.
You're listening.
No.
Well, Mark Stewart, and then who's there? Hainsey. Excuse me.
I was going to say, you didn't say Hainsey.
Where do you squeeze him in? So that's the question.
Well, and that's their problem right now. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Tweet us at Illegal Curve, and you can always send your comments at www.illegalcurve.com and join the chat going on there. And apparently there's a guy from Reykjavik, Iceland in the chat today.
He's listening.
Really?
Yeah. We're huge in Iceland.
Yeah, it's like David Hasselhoff in Germany.
Isn't there only like 300,000 people in Iceland? Iceland?
You know, other guys. Other guys I've mentioned before, Radim Verbata can add cheap offense and relatively cheap, you'd hope. There aren't, I mean, the UFA crop, though, as you've noticed, is what happens in this day and age, guys, is that teams that are signing their best players long-term. Yeah. Because, I mean, they want to lock him up and they want to buy out their UFA years. But other guys who are available, I mean, this team is not looking for that guy to put him over the top. They're looking for a young, you know, a fairly young guy who can contribute some offense and be fairly, you know, fiscally responsible. So that's why I keep pointing to the Upshaw guys and the Ryder kind of types.
Let's go back to the phone. H-Bomb, you're on with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys, I'm up from Reykjavik, but I'm from North of Wright, so.
Well, but, and you have a cottage near Gimli, so it's almost like you're from Reykjavik.
I'm not on the lake, though.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have a cottage on the lake.
I don't. Guys, my question is, might sound a little pessimistic. I know that's kind of strange for me, but is Andrew Ladd, he's our superstar? That's what we have to, like, don't get me wrong, I'm very excited to see hockey here, but is that our number one guy?
Well, Hart, I think,
I guess that's not H-Bomb anymore.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that.
I would say that, no, Andrew Ladd is not a superstar, but he is our captain. Well, we're assuming he's going to be re-signed, but he's our the leader of the team. And
we said last week, he's a second liner.
He's a second line offensive player, but as far as our best player at the current moment, I would have to say on forward, that's probably Evander Kane, but he's so young and has so much more room to grow. But
with that being said, I know you remember last week you guys said that in terms of like scoring and all his points, he equals out to a second line player.
That's right.
But we're in the stage where we're building up our team, so we're not looking to get a number one player right now.
Well, I'll let Richie jump in, but I think that this team is going to, if I could compare it to another team, I think it's going to be like a Nashville. And I think that that this year they're gonna struggle to score goals, they're gonna need to get a guy who's gonna give them, you know, a little bit more offense on the second and third lines. But I don't think we're gonna have a guy that's gonna crack, you know, more than 65 or 70 points.
The point is, H-Bomb, is this: if you're gonna get to bring in a number one player, you're gonna have to draft him or trade for him. You're not gonna be able to sign him as a UFA. So utilizing the UFA market is gonna be for more bit parts and for complementary players, more so than for the superstar, like, you know, like the Rangers and other teams try and utilize that system.
That's right. And the way to build a team is through the draft and through those signings of those role players. That's the way to do it.
We have a question on Twitter.
Let's go to break first. Oh, okay. H-Bomb, appreciate the call. Let's go to break. When we come back, more of people's comments from the phones and from the Twitter and from Facebook and from the chat. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 11:20 in the morning. We're taking your calls about free agency, about the head coach, about the team name, whatever's on your mind. 780-1290, area code 204, 780-1290. Send us your comments on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. You can send us your messages on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And be sure to join the chat room going on at www.illegalcurve.com. Sometimes I frighten myself. Because during the commercial break, what did I say to you guys? That I have to remember to plug Sports Week Review with Matt and Marcoux on Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
I just got an email from our good buddy Matty Leibel. It says, don't forget to plug Sports Week Review with... And I was after I had said it to you guys. It's scary. Frightening. We're all on the same page here.
At least you lied to Matthew on the air right now.
At least I what?
You lied. Yeah, that never happened.
At least you're being transparent, Drew.
That was... It completely happened. Don't sell me out.
You never mentioned the show until after the email.
Richard. Richard's trying to sell me out.
No, Drew did mention it during the break.
Exactly. See, we're in sync here on Sports Radio 1290. That's what it boils down to.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye. That's nice. Is that in sync or is that the Backstreet Boys?
I thought that was in sync. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Yeah.
I'm asking. You might be right. I mean, I have no idea.
Isn't it?
I
got Remus to check that.
No, I think we're good. N. Dubeck at Illegal Curve on Twitter asks, what about Chris Higgins as a potential signing?
Yeah, I've never been a big Chris Higgins fan, guys. He doesn't really bring much to the table, in my opinion. He's easily replaceable and would cost more money than I think he's worth. I don't think he's worth more than, you know, close to the minimum, with all due respect. So I would pass on a guy like Chris Higgins. He did have a nice run with Vancouver, and he did get the exposure. But you watch him in Florida and Montreal and New York before that, and he just didn't bring it night in, night out. And if he's going to be on the fourth line for periods of time, you just have a youngster play that role.
Well, and when you're a team that's really going to rely on effort more than anything else to win night in, night out, you need to bring that effort.
Yeah, it's not something. He just had another talent.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, and I mean, Drew, he was chipping in on Vancouver quite nice a little bit. He was even moved up to the second line. But I'd have to agree with Richie. Higgins, he's shown that he's inconsistent. He's only really put together one decent season, and I don't know if that's somebody that you really want to target in free agency.
I don't think it doesn't blow me away, but we do appreciate the insight. Let's go to Zane in West St. Paul. Zane, you want to talk about the team name? Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hi. I favor the name Winnipeg or Manitoba Mosquitoes, maybe Skeeters. It's an ideal time to get a unique 21st century global logo. We shouldn't automatically adopt the Jets name. I don't think the management really wants to use that name.
Zane, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
But you know what? Let me say a couple more things, please.
Real quick.
We buzz, we bite, we sting, we flit, flop, and fly. Could be a name of a forward line, a nickname. We have a defense, could be menacing and tenacious. You can picture our, jersey with wings, six appendages. If they want to swat us, we can swat them back with more teeth. What else?
Zane, I think you've said it all. We appreciate the insight, and you obviously spent some time on that, so thanks very much for the call.
And the Jets is apparently a name that they're still considering, what we're hearing. Whether or not that's the name I want, that's the name everybody wants, for the most part, not Zane. But lots of people do want it. I'm not so sure if it will be the Jets, but it seems to be between the Jets and Falcons, doesn't it, Drew?
It seems to me that's the case. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. It seems to me that is the case. I mean, by all accounts, it sounds like, and this is just speculation, it sounds like True North didn't want to go to the Jets as their first choice, but that the outcry has been so overwhelming and the people's demand to just be able to chant.
I want to say something really quick, though, on the topic of the name, because
this coming from the guy who suggested the Manitoba Muffins.
Hold on, I know, but in all seriousness, though, I want a muffin, but we've obviously, through this radio show on the website, we get a lot of emails and we talk to a lot of people about the name, because this is what everybody's worried about. But in fairness to True North and Mark Chipman, he has not said anything either way. He's not said pro-Jets, anti-Jets. So as far as I'm concerned, what everybody's saying, it doesn't matter who you are. It's just all your own opinion, and whatever they go with, at this point, it's for a reason, whether they want to keep the old name and honor the tradition and the fans, or if they want to go with a new name to capitalize on the freshness of the franchise. But I don't think you can read into anything, Drew. You can't say that, as far as I'm concerned, you can't say True North wants to go this way or that way, because we'll find out when they make the announcement.
But you see, here's why I disagree with you, Ezzy, because I think if it was going to be the Jets, and they knew it was going to be the Jets all along, they would have announced it the same day.
That's your opinion. That's not based on anything.
I'm saying it was my opinion.
Go back to the tape. What I just said is you can't. All we're doing is giving our own opinion.
Of course.
And then you said, this is why I disagree with you. Well, and then gave your opinion.
I'm just saying, I think if it was going to be the Jets all along, I think they would have said it from the start. And then I don't think they planned it to be the Jets, and they were going to trot out a different name, but the outcry was so strong for the Jets that I think they had to go back to the drawing board and reconsider it. And that's why I think that we've seen this quote-unquote delay. That's all. That's what I think.
But what if they're building up the hype?
They're not, because I don't think they have a name.
They're hype building.
I don't think they've made their minds up yet. I think that's why they don't have a logo come Friday.
So Manitoba Muffins could still be in the top
Manitoba
six.
Manitoba Muffins could still
what
be in the top
is they're
six.
They're actually using the $10 that everybody's paying for the entry draft to watch on TV to design more logos to see which one they want.
It's amazing the number of people who have been submitting to us at info@illegalcurve.com their own logos that they've designed.
We actually got one that was a picture of you on a logo.
I think that's
the
a great
Manitoba
logo.
Mindells.
The Manitoba Mindells? Who wouldn't want to sign up for that?
Would Drew be the mascot too?
It would work. I'd support that. I can be great mascot.
Sure.
Kids love me. You want me to mascot? I'll mascot.
Yeah.
Let's go back to line one. Parker in Fort Garry. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
How you doing, boys? I have a comment about. First of all, I want it to be the Jets. It has to be the Jets. That's all there is to it.
That's right, Parker.
as far as the Falcons being choice number two, I get the history, but you've got a certain Atlanta team named the Falcons, mm-hmm. even though it's a different sport. This ownership is going to want to make a clean break. They're not going to want any association whatsoever with the city of Atlanta.
And Parker, this is the thing. No, I mean, True North is not, has never said that they're considering Falcons. It's all been rumors, you know what I mean? So as far as your comment on maybe they wouldn't want to do that because of the whole Atlanta Falcons thing, that could be the case. I mean, nobody's actually said from True North that Falcons is in the top two or three, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Parker, your point is well taken, though, in terms of the Falcons. And
got to be the Jets, you know, Matt. Whatever they call the team, the fans are still going to scream out, go Jets, go.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're realizing that. And I think since the announcement, the passion has only grown day by day. And I think, Parker, the point is exactly, you're exactly right. It's going to be the Jets. It's always the Jets to people. And I realize you change the names, people start adapting to it. But they're going to wear the Jets jerseys. They're still going to buy the Jets jerseys.
Parker, Richard's wearing a Jets hat right now, so I think we're good.
Might as well capitalize on that opportunity. And I agree with you on the point about the Falcons. You know, I don't mind the name as an alternative. But with the Atlanta Falcons, it is kind of odd and a little bit ironic and something that they probably would want to stay away from.
Absolutely. And I've got my old desk. You redesign the logo, I'll be first in line to buy a new one. So
exactly. And Parker's exactly right.
Parker, we appreciate the call. Before we go to the commercial break, let's go to Glenn. He's calling from Steinbach, line 3. Glenn, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good, Glenn. How
good
you doing?
From our listeners in Steinbach.
Good. I have nothing against the name Manitoba Moose, but whenever anyone will hear it, they will instinctively think AHL. It's like when you kiss a girl the first time and a certain song is on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you hear that song after that, that's what you think about. And I think they should be called the Winnipeg Jets.
I mean, totally agree. And then you're going to associate it with the AHL brand. The Moose is an AHL brand, and it was branded really well. But it's an AHL brand. It was in the IHL with the Minnesota Moose. It became a minor league team. For whatever reason, it's entrenched in our heads that it's an AHL team, and the Jets is entrenched in our heads as an NHL team.
That's right.
That's correct.
Glenn, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back after, Dave Staples from the Edmonton Journal is going to join us. We might take some more calls in the last segment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. In the morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Some great comments flowing in on Twitter and on Facebook about the team name and the coaching and everything else. We'll try and get to a few more of those.
Zane's Mosquito's name is getting quite a bit of buzz.
Yeah, literally. Oh, pardon the pun.
Oh, good one.
Well done, Izzy. We're thrilled to be. Let's go to the Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Welcome back to the program from the Edmonton Journal. You know him from the Cult of Hockey blog. Dave Staples, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hello.
How are you, Dave?
I'm good.
That's good. Thanks very much for joining us on this Saturday morning. Always appreciate it.
No problem.
We have an NHL team now, Dave.
Oh, I missed that. Just said I'm going to move to where my cell phone reception's a bit better here. Sorry about that.
No worries. Take your time. We'll just chat amongst ourselves.
Is Dave that shocked that we now have an NHL team?
Yeah, I guess I offer it. Congratulations, guys. Way to go.
Thanks, Dave. Dave, you're good to go now?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, Craig McTavish, we want to start with him. He was the head coach in Edmonton for 8 years. Had some success, had some poor years there. What would you give him as an overall grade during his tenure as head coach in Edmonton?
Well, he made the Stanley Cup Finals with his team 1 year. He was on a team with decidedly mixed resources for the first time, and he made the most of it. They were generally a team that competed for the playoffs. And, I would give him a fairly good grade. I think he certainly a passing grade, maybe an excellent grade. He never really had the horses except for 1 year to compete. So there's that. If he had been with a team like Detroit, it would have been interesting to see what he would have done with that.
Dave, can you talk a little bit about, you know, McTavish coaching the team's young players at the time and over the course of his tenure in Edmonton and how he handled them?
He was supportive of young players. Some might say he rushed the young players up too quickly. Players like Sam Gagne and Andrew Cogliano. Some people thought the team too early. There's that. Gagne made the team as an 18-year-old. When I was a 20, some people felt Cogliano.
Oh, I think we lost that. Oh, yeah. We'll try and get better.
Okay, we'll try and get.
Rookie, but he was generally good for the young players.
Your cell phone cut out there for a second, Dave. Sorry. You were saying he was pretty good with the young players. Is that right?
Yeah. Let's get another connection here.
Okay. We'll get.
Can you hear me now, guys?
Yeah, I think we can hear you right now.
Okay. Sorry.
That's no worries.
Yes. So I was saying that, you know, there was some criticism that he promoted young players too quickly, but he was certainly willing to go with young players, and that's what he's going to have in Atlanta, is a lot of young players. So, you know, I think he's a good people person, a very ambitious guy. In his time off, he was going for his MBA. I think he got it. When he wasn't coaching, he was working with as a hockey analyst. Just a very smart, affable, ambitious guy who has been on Stanley Cup winning teams and knows how to get it done. So very experienced as well at the NHL level now as a coach. So you're not going to be getting someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Very competent if he's the guy.
Dave, what was Craig McTavish like coaching the veterans? Because obviously, you know, people look at 2006 when he had Michael Pekka and Dwayne Rolison and Chris Pronger. What was he like with around the veterans?
He was excellent with good hockey players. Frustrated with ones that weren't so good. I mean, in his last year as coach, it started to fall apart a bit with some factions on the team. Between the young guys and the old guys. So, you know, there was a faction of older players who were frustrated with not winning and had been on the cup finalist team. And, you know, there were some problems on that team, but I don't think it was too unusual. I just think, I mean, he is a guy who is a very strong coach in terms of dealing with the players. He's been a player himself. He knows their issues. He knows how to build a winning culture and a winning team. And, you know, to push players in the right direction. You know, like any coach, there's frustration with younger guys, with their learning curves, if they're not willing to do what it takes to be winners. But I think he did a fairly good job in bringing some of these, certainly in introducing these. He was willing to go with the young guys, give them a chance in the NHL, and he is a strong teacher as well.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Dave Staples of the Edmonton Journal. Dave, did Craig McTavish sort of have a system that he employed that he sort of brought to the table each and every night, or was he more flexible?
It's quite flexible, I think. I mean, the Oilers hockey was known as fast, aggressive forechecking, but when the year they made it to the Cup Finals, they reverted to a trapping system to beat the Detroit Red Wings. You know, they had a strong goalie, strong defense. And the plan then was to trap and stymie the Red Wings attack that way, keep all the shots to the outside, you know, block a ton of shots. So he adapted to kind of the new rules of the NHL, the new system of the NHL, with the increased size within the blue lines. You know, you're going to get their shots, but just keep them to the outside and block as many as you can and rely on your goalie and don't give up two-on-ones, breakaways, and top-quality chances. So, yeah, he was a guy who showed the ability to adapt. And, you know, one thing I should add is that the press corps in Winnipeg is going to love this guy if he's the guy, because
he's got a great sense of humor.
Witty, very bright, very funny.
Yeah, he's got a great sense of humor.
That's right.
We want to switch a little bit to the draft right now. Who are the Oilers targeting at first overall?
I think there's two players that they're looking at seriously. Adam Larsson of Sweden, great young defenseman. Some people have compared him to Nicklas Lidström, saying he's better than Lidström was at that age. Of course, Lidström just took off his development. He's one of those defensemen who just absolutely took off and developed after that, so it's not really a fair comparison. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who is one of these great offensive talents that Canada produces, great vision on the ice, great passer. You know, for a Winnipeg analogy, Dale Hawerchuk would come to mind. He just, you know, just gifted offensive hockey player, quiet, spoken guy, he's got, I think he's, the Oilers have a real need at center, and it seems to make sense to draft forwards as opposed to defensemen with these high picks. So I think that's the way they're going to go is Nugent Hopkins. He's playing in red deer right now. He just looks like the right guy for this team.
Dave, you think any chance they trade the pick? I know Steve Tambellini has alluded to
possibly. No, I don't think there's any chance. I think they talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's discussed, and yeah, we're open for business. But I think what they're trying to do is actually get another pick, put out that message that we're open for business. But the business they're open for is actually acquiring someone else's pick. And it just seems like these picks, these top picks, they don't move very often before a draft. There's always talk of teams moving up, but you very rarely see it. I mean, every year we read the same stories, moving up, and I'm sure it's the same in every city. We want to, you know, move up, see if we can move up in the draft. How often does it happen? Not very often, and certainly not in the week before the draft when these picks are at a premium. In fact, they're probably overvalued right now. It might not be a bad idea maybe to trade if you had the 6th or 7th or 8th mm-hmm. pick. You might get a lot more value than you're going to get in the player you're going to get. So I don't see them doing anything but drafting 1st and 19th.
What do you think they're offering if they attempt to move up from their 19th?
There's talk about Alex Hemsky being on the block, Tom Gilbert, Sam Gagner. Hemsky is the most interesting. If you need to win now, and there's a few of these teams that do, like Columbus, they got to win now to save that franchise, GM save his job. Garth Snow and the Island, same deal. Like if there's some GM who's under the pressure to win right now, maybe they would move it, and Hemsky would be a very, he's a great hockey player. His only problem is he's been injured a lot in the last, you know, missed half the games the last 2 years. So if you're a GM, like, to me, that would be a no-brainer. Take Hemsky, win now, save your job, to maybe turn things around for your franchise. So I think the Oilers might be willing to make that trade as well. So maybe this year will be different, and contradicting myself here, and there will be a trade. But that would be the most inviting piece on the table for another team to pick up.
Dave Staples of the Edmonton Journal, we thank you very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Dave. Thanks very much.
The Oilers likely keep the first pick. Steve Tambellini is...
When was the last time the first overall pick in the NHL draft got traded?
Well, sometimes what happens is they traded... I forget what happened. I mean, didn't the DiPietro pick got traded around, I think, didn't he? Didn't it? But
I'm saying like before the draft.
Yeah. I mean, generally it's like a 1 for a 4 because they like the 4 players and they don't care which one they get and they get another pick out of it.
That's right.
See it in the NFL a lot more than you see it in the National Hockey League. But Steve Tambellini has really done, in my opinion, a pretty poor job in Edmonton and hasn't really done much and is lucking out, you know, as a benefit of poor, you know, it's funny that the way that works, you know, he's going to
be... Sure, he'll look like a genius because they were bad for so many straight years that he gets a roster chock full of talent.
He hasn't proven to be anything other than an average NHL GM, if not below average at this point, candidly speaking. but, yeah, I mean, let's just call a spade there. But yeah, I mean, you have to pay, you probably have to overpay to get up to the number one pick just because there's a certain amount of glory that goes with the pick. As you know, that is the first overall pick in the draft, first overall pick. We hear mixed reviews on Larson and Nugent Hopkins, but again, there's other guys and then the next level. And Winnipeg's going to get one of the next level guys, so to speak. And I think we should be happy with that. It doesn't seem like there's too much you can go wrong here. I mean, obviously, a 7 pick is no guarantee. Last year, it was extremely beneficial.
But it was thought that Jeff Skinner was a reach.
Well, yeah, he was a guy rising up the draft charge. I mean, Strome was kind of risen up that way as well.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that extent, but so maybe it's that pick where people don't want to go too high on the guy because he still hasn't proven it, but they want. So it could go both ways, guys, but it's, again, fun to talk about it and fun to be able to hate the Oilers again.
Well, it doesn't take lots. It doesn't take a lot to rebuild all the hates that we had. That's why I didn't understand how people in Winnipeg were cheering for Vancouver. Boggled my mind.
Yeah, I hate Vancouver.
I mean, exactly. You hate Vancouver. You hate Edmonton. You hate Calgary. It's good to have hate back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
If you got hate in your heart, let it out.
There you go. It's not paying rent. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll recap this program. We'll look forward to the week that is to come on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Maybe more of your calls, maybe more of your tweets. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. So Drew,
I know that's the hip, of course.
At the 100th meridian.
Take my life in my hands.
today is going to be Drew's 100th omelet.
Well, you're tragically hip.
That's funnier than whatever you were going with.
Now, Drew, question now, though. What time do you want to pick me up for Rihanna tonight?
I thought we were going for the sound check. 5:30? I figured the sound check's at 5:30.
Timmy, can you get some Rihanna so the whole segment can be in the background of us talking over Rihanna?
No.
Why not? Just a little bit.
Yeah. Rihanna's the best.
She was
also the worst.
She was apparently looking for some food in Winnipeg last night. She tweeted that she was hungry in Winnipeg last night.
She go to the poutinerie?
Who cares?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
And what do I care about Rihanna's eating?
Well, why are you caring about Rihanna? Why are you asking if we're going to the sound check then?
I'm more of a Beyonce guy. I like Beyonce.
Are they rivals?
I don't think so.
I think they were a little bit.
Really?
I think Rihanna had a thing for Jigga and Jay-Z. That's Jay-Z.
Jay-Z's
nickname.
Oh, that's his nickname? You guys are boys?
I could do without Rihanna. I'm good for tonight.
Do you have him on BBN?
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. You can tweet us at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, www.IllegalCurve.com. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe.
Under my umbrella, hey.
Are we done with the Rihanna talk now?
Is that Rihanna?
Yeah, that is Rihanna, but we're done with that. Let's talk about the week that's coming up in the Let's talk about the week that's coming up in the Illegal Curve world, because it's a big week. First of all, Friday, you and I, Richie, we're hosting Hustler and Lawless. They're going to be, I'm not sure where they are, but Hustler and Lawless are away on Friday, and they're letting you and I fill in.
I think they're going to the Hamptons.
The weekend in the Hamptons?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
They might be going to the Hamptons.
Yes, so we are doing the 4 to 6:30 slot,
4 to 6:30
right?
Friday afternoon, we'll be hosting Hustler and Lawless, so that's exciting.
And the draft is at 6 o'clock that same evening.
That's right. Ezzy, you'll be road tripping down to Minneapolis with Remus.
Yep. Hopefully I get past the border this time, and
With Remus, and you're going to be meeting up with Kyle. You guys you guys have credentials, so you'll be live at the draft. We'll be talking to you Friday, and of course we'll be talking to you Saturday as well.
Remus is going to be there too.
What's that?
Remus is going to be there.
That's what I said. I said Remus.
Oh, you did? Okay, sorry. I have brain damage.
So we'll be live at the draft. We'll be live at the draft on Friday and Saturday.
Yep. Absolutely.
And as soon as we get an interview, as we're going to be getting, we'll be in.
Drew, we're going pick by pick, team by team, table by table, muffin by muffin, omelet by omelet. We are not going to leave a single napkin unturned at that draft.
So as soon as we get some audio from interviews throughout the course of the evening, Friday and Saturday, we're going to send that and post that up at www.illegalcurve.com. So just head to the website, stay with the website all day Friday. We hopefully will have we'll get an interview right as soon as that seventh overall pick is done. So
sure, I think we're going to aim to go for about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. So we're going to be there. We're going to try to get some interviews before, and then you know, me, Kyle, and Remus. Hopefully one of us or all of us. We'll try to call into the show.
We'll speak to you guys Friday afternoon.
If you guys are nice enough to have us on.
Yeah, we'll speak to you guys Friday afternoon without a doubt.
We're at the draft. We've got three people at the draft live getting stuff online. We're going to be on Twitter. We're going to be on IllegalCurve.com. We're going to be posting articles, interviews, clips on the radio 4 to 6:30 on the Hustler and Lawless show on the Friday, Saturday morning. We'll have live updates from the draft, the third round picks, possible trades. We're everywhere.
We're covering the draft from top to bottom, and joining us next week in the studio for our good friend from BehindTheNetHockey.com, Gabe Desjardins, is going to join us and sit in with you and I, Richie,
for
next Saturday
3 hours.
For the whole 3 hours.
Yes.
Gabe, of course, you've heard him. He's responsible for the statistically speaking segment here on the show. So Gabe's going to be—he's in town. He's normally in San Francisco.
Yes.
He'll be in Winnipeg. He's going to join us in studio. So we're going to thrilled to have. We got to cover top to bottom next Saturday,
Friday. I got to tell you, I haven't been this excited since the Fleetwood Mac concert, so I'm really ready to go here.
Exactly.
I'll say this, though. This is, to me, the calm before the storm.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean draft, coaching, name, the whole deal. It's kind of been a quiet week.
I was surprised. I thought they'd have coaching done by this week, to be honest.
Yeah, you know what, Drew? I thought so, too. Maybe things changed in terms of McTavish thinking that he was going to go to Minnesota. Now he hasn't, so he's available. Maybe they've changed their tune on Ramsey. I don't know what's happened. I mean, they've done some interviews, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're taking their time, and that's good. But
I'd rather have them take their time.
But it's calm before the storm, because literally, today's June 18th. So within the next 12 days or 13 days, you're going to have a coach, draft picks, possible trades, probably uniform, and then UFAs on July 1.
That's right.
So the next 2 weeks, because July 1st and 2nd, a lot of action happens, the next 2 weeks are going to be action-packed. And so this is the week right now where people are getting everything in order. People are, you know, some teams are quietly working at the draft, and there's not much news breaking. But But we'll have the news on the site this week leading up to the draft about possible picks, and then, of course, we'll be all over the draft when it happens.
That's right, and then it's worth noting that Friday, July 1st is, of course, the day the free agency opens, Canada Day. Saturday morning, July 2nd, we'll be here 9 to noon on Sports Radio 1290, recapping everything that's happened in free agency, in that first sort of 24-hour window, and then looking ahead,
yes.
Because usually, sometimes it happens real quick that the guys like Brad Richards get taken off the board, and sometimes it goes all the way until August, like it did last year with Ilya Kovalchuk, and 14 grievances later, and I think a couple of decisions from a local rabbi to see about the legalities of the whole contract. So we've got you covered here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, top to bottom, in the next couple weeks with all of your Jets, whatever is news that you want to do. That's where I think the city sort of decided ahead of time what they were going to call the team until they actually had a name. I think that would have made everybody's life a lot easier.
But like you said before, though, Drew, I think that they had a name, and then after the announcement, or maybe they didn't have a name, but they're definitely thinking about it a lot.
I would hope so.
But I mean, let's be honest, though. Negotiating the deal between Atlanta Spirit and True North was probably taking up every minute of every day, Richie. This isn't...
Well, Chipman did say this week that they were close to getting
10 minutes
Phoenix,
away.
Which we knew already, but he just on the record about that.
Yeah,
yeah, last year, of course.
Yeah, 10 minutes. If they hadn't wired the money over to the NHL within 10 minutes, then it was...
Then I was ready to wire money.
They were wiring $25 million. You were wiring $2.50.
You're wired enough today, Eddie. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Have you actually put together a formal proposal about your muffin team name?
No, I'm working on it, like
the guys from London.
No, I'm working. Dorian Murphy is the marketing guy, True North Sports and Entertainment, and I'm currently working on something in Photoshop and clip art, and I'll have something for him very shortly regarding the Manitoba muffin. So stay tuned. I'll let you know if True North is going to accept my proposal.
You've been really hawking the muffins proposal for a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And you think
trying to start a movement here.
You think you would have heard something about it by now if it was going to be the muffins. So no offense, but my hopes are not that high for you and your muffin.
Muffin stays in the MTS Center. Is there muffins in the MTS Center?
Oh, there's a Tim Hortons. They serve muffins.
Yeah.
Is this actually happening? Is this conversation happening right now?
You were the one who wanted to play Rihanna in the background this entire segment. So get off your high horse as you ride it right off the cliff.
Well, Tim, whatever happened to that idea?
I kiboshed it because I thought it was a terrible idea.
Richard's partied with Rihanna in Barbados before.
Yeah, we partied in Barbados.
She was Bohemian.
Rhapsody?
Bohemian.
Get that song on the background.
Bohemian, oh, Bahamas, whatever.
Bahamas, Bohemian.
Okay, well, who do you guys think that, we got a couple minutes here. Who do you guys think that the Winnipeg franchise is going to select on Saturday?
I think it's going to be Strom. I mean, I'd be fine with Strom or Couturier.
I don't think Couturier falls that far.
I don't think he does either. That's why...
Yeah, but Strom or Hamilton, probably. I think they probably go for the best forward available.
Or teach me how to Dougie.
I mean, the truth is that, people say you don't draft based on need. You don't, but if you have a tie, you draft based on need.
Well, yeah. Right? If two guys fall to be... that you're fine either or, you're going to take the player you need
and
more.
One thing we know is that they're going to draft a hockey player, right? So...
As opposed to what?
This, by the way, everybody, this is the guy we have going to the draft.
Yeah. he's actually only going to the draft to speak in complete and total cliche. Is he gonna wear the C one day? Is the guy kind of guy who's gonna be wear the C one day?
That'd be pretty funny if you walked around in a suit wearing it with a C on it. That'd be pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
I have my orange suit picked out and ready to go.
I think that the coaching decision I've thought throughout the process, as it's probably going to be Noel, and they're doing their due diligence.
Haven't heard a thing about him in the last week or so. Well, do you find that surprising?
Did you hear a thing about Atlanta? Did you hear a thing about Sheveldayoff? Did you hear a thing about anything before they've announced it?
No. So. But it seems like Noel has almost been, not the forgotten man, because he's certainly not, but they have, if they've interviewed him, we haven't heard about it.
Well, apparently Vancouver wants a decision within the week.
Well, I can understand that, because Vancouver's got a lot of work to do. Vancouver needs to find a new farm team.
Vancouver has to worry about broken glass and... the reputation right now.
I don't think so. I mean, what's done is done, and we'll get to that. I imagine we're going to get to some of that during Cheers and Jeers. But I mean, I think it's going to be Noel. That's my hunch. But something, for whatever reason, tells me that I might be surprised. And it might be Ramsey.
Drew, that's an interesting one. I mean, he's on a one-year contract. The question is this: that's a lame duck year. If you bring him in, you don't extend him. You don't really know enough about him, so you're probably not going to extend him. You have a lame duck year. The franchise has a coach on his lame duck year. I don't see that. I do not see that. So either you give him 3 years, which I don't see, or you start anew.
Well, you know, you're with Noel, this guy who's never been an NHL coach. You don't know
if for a short time in Columbus.
Yeah, for a cup of coffee in Columbus. You don't know if he has the wherewithal to be an NHL coach. I suspect that he does. But there's no guarantee. So, I mean...
But Haviland doesn't have NHL head coaching experience either.
I don't buy that one-year lame duck argument.
I do.
I do, too.
Distraction.
You think it's a distraction?
I do.
For who? The players?
Absolutely.
Really?
And the coach himself. He doesn't know he's going to be here next year.
It's not even that...
Do your job!
It's not even that it's a distraction. It's that he's only signed to 1 year, and what if things go horribly wrong? Then it's obviously going to be a case where he could be let go very early on in the year.
What are expectations? I mean, their expectations next year are probably not making the playoffs. In the East isn't as good as the West.
So why do you want a guy under 1 year contract when you could get a guy under a two or 3 year contract?
If he doesn't get you into the playoffs, which likely won't, especially with their travel schedule, then has he not done his job? Or is his job to develop the players for 1 year to hand them off to somebody else? And if that's the case, does he want that job? I think there's too many things moving parts there. Unless it's a new 3 year deal, I don't think Ramsey would be kept on.
You know what? Probably in a couple weeks we'll find out. Well, by next Saturday at this time, we'll know who our first-round draft pick is. We'll probably know who our third-round draft pick is. All I can say is let's stay tuned to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show for all your news. Let's wrap it up with cheers and jeers.
Cheers.
Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly good.
Someone who is surprisingly good as Ginsburg, your cheer or your jeer this week?
Surprisingly what?
Surprisingly good.
At what?
Whatever. Cheer or jeer.
What does that mean?
You're surprisingly good at cheers or jeers. Just give us a cheer or a jeer.
Okay. I'm going to cheer Mike Yao. It's a cool name to say.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to cheer him because he just became the youngest coach in the NHL. He was an assistant, a popular assistant coach with Pittsburgh. Good for him. It's good to see him get a shot in the NHL. So I'm going to cheer Mike Yao. Is it Yao or Yeo?
Just be quiet. Richard?
I got an email from Derek Curtis, thinks that Mac T would be a good pick. I agree with him. I think Mac T would be a very good pick. And I know the Riders are on the wallpaper here from, I guess, Hustler and Lawless. On the wallpaper here, you see this, Drew. This is actually a crazy picture of a Vancouver fan walking out of a bank that has been shattered. In any event, my cheer actually this week goes to Tim Thomas, a guy who played in Finland, who worked his way through, became a backup in the National Hockey League at a veteran age, was a sign of persistence and perseverance and class act on and off the ice, a role model for everybody. And not only did he make it against all odds, but he made it against all odds and then was classy enough to take a backseat last year to Tuukka Rask, heading into this year as a backup, didn't complain about that, and then took the opportunity when it was given to him and ran with it. And there's probably no better guy in the National Hockey League. Kudos to him, and he gets my cheer.
Well done. I'm going to wrap up cheers and jeers this week. I was pretty hard on the Vancouver organization and the Vancouver fans in the first hour of this program. I'm going to cheer those Vancouver citizens, the citizens of Vancouver who went out the day after the riot on their own with brooms and with dustpans and everything else to try and rebuild their city and rebuild their reputation, and showing that this was the work of a small minority. So kudos to the real Vancouver fans who went out and they restored some civic pride into their city. I thought that was a nice touch after a black eye the night before. That's it for this Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank yous to Illegal Curve's scouting correspondent, Kyle Cozier. Big thank you to Chris Vivlamore of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Big thank you to Dave Staples of the Edmonton Journal.